Tony Norman will talk about the duties of board members and also about when we hold meetings.
Okay. P&D duties are defined in the foundation's bylaws.
Your name and affiliation, please.
Tony Norman, WPFW, Washington, D.C. P&B duties are defined by the foundation's bylaws, and they can be located online. And in particular, in Article 5, 6, and 8, the board is responsible for overseeing the conduct of the foundation affairs, including compliance with the foundation's mission, applicable state and local laws, approving the annual budget, monitoring spending, overseeing the audit, hiring, supervising, and removing the executive director and chief financial officer. The 2013 P&B have been having monthly meetings on the fourth Thursday of each month, with the second Thursday reserved for continuing meetings, if necessary. For most of the year, it has been deemed necessary. Meetings are juggled to avoid major holidays in November, December, and on occasion we meet more frequently than twice a month. Most meetings have included open and closed session using separate phone codes, with the first legs at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and the second beginning at our 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Accordingly, the P&B policy, meetings are not to go beyond later than 3 hours or midnight Eastern Time. At least we tried to stick to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony. I want everyone to know, I want everyone to know that behind me over here we have John Almella and Otis McClay. They are our national. Yes, thank you. And Otis is the one who sends out notices to the board about the meetings, and I want him just to explain this. And I'm going to ask folks to just summarize rather than reading everything. Otis.
Give him a microphone.
I use the public. Shh. The official mic for people who are not all over. Okay. The notices are based on the posting of the meeting. CPB requirements insist that we post our meeting 7 days in advance. The national calendar shows when it was posted, so I can submit that as proof to the CPB. Meeting notices are mailed to the committee members 1 week in advance, 2 days before, and the same day. They're mailed out at about 6 in the morning Central Time. Questions?
You guys rock.
Let me say this. What are the big issues with this whole system? Is getting the memberships. So when we do the committee memberships, I need to start populating those lists. I've had a question that somehow they're not being mailed out to certain committees. That's because those committees don't exist yet. For example, the audit committee. Because the whole system is based on the year of your membership. So it's really important to get those committees populated. There's a database that contains the complete listing of all of the committees of the PNB, which includes, you know, the station committees as well. Important point, posting 7 days in advance, and people who post, secretaries, I'll give logins so you can post the meetings yourself. If you really like to be served, you can send me an email and I'll do it. But I would rather have you do it. I think it's safer. You can count on it because you know you did it. So people who are going to post, secretaries of committees generally, I need to give them a login to the system so they can post. And we need to populate all the committees. Right now the only one is this one. Questions?
Yes. Coyotes. First, thank you. Thank you first for all you do. But the question is, I don't know, I'm asking, just asking, please don't take it like any attack. I'm asking, you said that every secretary, every committee will have the option to load themselves in the, I mean, in the web page, right?
I would give them, whoever's going to post on a committee a login to the system so that they can post.
Okay. Is any, because you said that when you entry whatever information is there, you put there the date that you entry that information.
When you post,
right,
there is a record, and it appears on the page when you look at it, the date it was posted.
Okay, and that is automatic. That is automatic.
It's automatic. When you post it, that date is recorded, and it'll appear on the page.
Okay.
And that's our proof to the CPB,
perfect,
that we're conforming to the announcement requirements, which are a big, big issue, by the way. It was that issue that held up our CPB payments.
Exactly. Mm. Okay. That's why I was wearing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Another round of applause, you all.
No.
Summer Reese is going to explain our telephonic meetings. Yes.
Thank you, and I'm just going to read what's in your orientation. Telephonic meetings of committees are...
Please stop.
Telephonic meetings of committees are conducted using Robert's Rules of Order. The logistics of Internet and long-distance communication require common practices that, in addition to common rules of netiquette, should be observed by everyone. I would say being polite would get us a long way. That's not in there. The first rule is be prepared. Plan for telephonic meetings as carefully as you would for in-person meetings. Read the files that are on the agenda and know what they are about. Learn how to use your telephone, especially the mute-unmute functions. As I've been saying for the last 3 years that I've been chair of this board, #1 is your friend. I really mean it. And it's everyone else's friend, too. Respect the chair and wait to be recognized before speaking. Don't abuse the elements of RRO, Robert's Rules of Order, designed to channel traffic, e.g. points of order or points of information or points of personal privilege. In your books, you will find 7 pages of little cheat sheets on Robert's Rules of Order, the chart of motions and the order they're presented in and what their purpose is. I hope that helps this year. Keep ambient noise off the call by muting your phone or ideally being in a quiet location. Plan ahead. If you're not going to be in front of your computer during the call, keep a copy of the agenda and agenda items in view. Do not ask to have read to you documents that you should have had with you or familiarized yourself with long before. Rather than rudely holding up the entire board, abstain from the voting. Be alert during vote counts. Unmute yourself when your station is being polled, and answer the first time your name is called, rather than require the secretary to repeat the call and delay the meeting. And of course, rather than lurk on the call, I didn't write this, announce your arrival, ideally at a moment that does not interrupt a speaker. I think the real thing is courtesy. Robert's Rules of Order is intended to help you deal with, you know, the issues of who speaks when, but being polite and collegial is the first thing that would actually help on the meetings, which means, as our colleague was just quoting the mission statement, this organization was supposed to have been founded on the ideal of bringing people together who did not agree with one another. And that is one of the ideas behind courtesy and politeness, is that you don't simply give it to people you like, because it is presumed that you will treat people you like with some decency, but that you give it to people that you don't like and with whom you do not agree, because that is the basis of such things, and it makes for the possibility of communicating with one another and conducting business. And that is really what's supposed to happen, and which so infrequently does on our meetings. So I hope in this coming year, people will remember that, A, the public is listening when we are on these telephone calls. We may be in our own homes or offices, but whomever decides to tune in is listening to the proceedings of the board and how we conduct ourselves and treat one another. So that's the basic idea behind it. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. All right. We're going to try to move along a little bit more quickly. I'm asking Carolyn now to talk about Internet communication. And please just summarize, actually.
Well, if I really have to summarize the Internet communication, I'll quote the advice of a famous listserv operator who summed up about 15 or 20 years' worth of practices by just advising members on a list with each other to, in two words, to be nice. And that covers a whole lot of ground. But the rules of Internet communication are long. Netiquette is the basis for most of the rules, plus Robert's Rules of Order. And this makes the point that board members who are new and don't know how to use their emails really need to ask someone to help them rather than doing it rather than coming to a meeting and saying I couldn't access this or I couldn't find that. It is complicated, and people do need help, especially with the newer computers or even older ones. I'll read a section about additional courtesies to observe. On email, one problem is that we have an open list. We have a dual system, and that is members of Pacifica can post to our list. We probably should have two separate lists, one private for the board communications and one for the public to access and be responded to, but we don't. So in the meanwhile, this I think is meant for the board, refrain from personal attacks. Do not cross-post copy without explaining why. In other words, just putting a post on with no explanation doesn't help anyone. Please use spell checking and proofreading before sending. It's considered quite rude under Usenet rules to put posts out without proofreading or spell checking them. Post URLs. If a post is really long, just post the link to it so that we don't have to clutter up our mailboxes with 10 pages of stuff. Trim other people's messages from the bottom of yours if they're not germane. Don't post private messages without permission. That's a big issue. And if there are complaints, don't start a flame war by complaining about somebody's whatever. Send it directly to the member and wait for that member to either apologize or withdraw or correct before you go public with it. And no need for 10 people to say, thanks, that was great, on one exchange. It's kind of a waste of time. And also remember that there is liability for defaming individual members on email as well as phone calls. So please try to keep the name calling to a minimum. I think that's about all.
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Do you have a question?
I have an objection.
Okay. Let's not do that. Okay. Thank you.
We're going to move along. I've asked Summer Reese to explain the board insurance. I'm sorry. Question, yes.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I just wanted to add one thing. I had my hand raised. You didn't see me. Jant Coburn, KPFA, about the telephone meetings. There are times when people call in late, and then they just start talking. And so if you call in late, just please don't start talking. Just listen first.
Go ahead, Lucy.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Chair. I think this is a very good gesture. It's actually orientation for the listeners. But I want to raise three points. You don't have to respond to it. Is that we seem to be taking for granted that most of our listeners have access to the Internet. And I just wonder how we do provide for those people who don't. It might be difficult, but it's a point. The issue of the notice, is the notice to the members or to the audience? And if so, how is that done? How do people get notice that we're meeting? And as to the spell check, I think we have to be very careful here. We're talking about inclusiveness. And to expect a standard of language and English and whatever else. I speak English, but trust me, I'm not perfect at it. And so those people who speak both, I commend them for even trying to do both. So I think we need to, you know, be careful how we say and say that.
Thank you, Lucette. And I also wanted to comment that I just learned this morning that there, in fact, is a private board list that only board members can post to, where private discussions can go on. And Otis has provided me that information, and it will be sent out to everybody. So there is a list. There is a, I don't know what you call it, right? John's agreeing. Okay. So
yeah, there's actually a list of every committee.
There's a list for every committee and a PMB list, right?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. John, go ahead.
Hi there, John Almella, Technical Director.
Can't hear you.
For Pacifica. Sorry, John Almella, Technical Director for Pacifica. We get notices for the meetings are sent to the members of committees, whether the PMB or subcommittees, they get notices with phone numbers and phone codes if it's a phone meeting. There are also notices on the Pacifica calendar of meetings. It's sent out to a few Pacifica lists. If you have others, we can add them, but you have to be a member of a list to actually post those lists. So if they want us to send the many, many, many announcements for all these meetings, we can definitely do it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to respond to the other question that Lucette raised, was how do people find out about these meetings? Mm-hmm. And I realized that we really are pretty internet dependent. The meetings are posted on the website, and I don't know about other stations, but our station has on its website, what am I doing wrong? A link to the Pacifica calendar, so that anyone looking at the KPFA website can click on that and find out when all the committees are meeting, when the PNB is meeting, and so on. But it's an issue. Adriana.
Yes, the question. Adriana Kasnev, KPFT. That is for John too. Almele. Lucette King raised a really good point about a lot of people don't have internet. Is any way that the system can send, for example, for the stations, because we said that we need to announce specific times in the station on air, is any way that in the moment that people post something, like the members receive it, the PDs or the general manager, the PDs probably in the station will receive it too, then they know what they need to announce? I mean, if we can integrate that.
Yeah, well, we could send to them, we could put them on the list, but they would have to respond to it. That's the difference. You know, and the question is, how much of this is relevant to listeners on the radio to hear, you know, 2 minutes of announcements about committee meetings on their stations?
Okay. These are people who want to comment on the section of the report.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to let go ahead, Manage. Say your name and station, please. I'll call on everybody.
Manage Sabo, WBAI. Actually, Director Casaneva said what I wanted to say, but my suggestion is that the PMB has a motion to require the stations to announce, to have to regularly check the website to see what committees and what's going on and announce it on the radio, because we are radio. Although we have become internet dependent, but radio is our medium. And we have to use it, and we shouldn't walk away from it, because that's where we are losing. I understand, and I appreciate, and I am very enthusiastic about using social media and internet for broadcasting as well. But in order to keep with our communities, we need to have that type of radio communication going. And I think I would offer a motion at some time if it's appropriate to require that all the committees, everything, the manager or somebody who's responsible at the stations to regularly check and make cards for announcement of these committees in timely manner to the public, because it's FCC, CPB, and more importantly, our listeners. Thank you.
I actually think there's something like that in place right now. Somebody who knows more than.
But if you have,
I
not
think
been
it's already in
if
place.
If they have not been doing it, we have to reiterate that.
Okay, Janice.
Janice Lane, your Pacifica affiliate representative. It is my understanding, having worked with Otis, that there are measures in place or soon to be initiated to ensure that each individual Pacifica station is in compliance with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's compliance rules and guidelines. And my suggestion follows what has been said previously, that it be further extended, as I understand it is not completely in place at this time, that the meetings and workings of the Pacifica National Board also be structured to be in compliance with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I won't belabor that. I will at a later point, if it is appropriate, second a motion and or work with Otis to ensure that it's not presenting an additional burden on the stations, but is also in keeping with our responsibility to communicate with our listeners.
Okay. Otis is next in line.
First of all, I have to say that Janice knows far more about the CPB than I do. She's been dealing with it for a whole bunch of people for a long time. The CPB is really not concerned with what goes out over the air, believe it or not. Their concern, and Janice, correct me if I'm wrong, their concern is those announcements on the station's webpage. Okay? There's also an announcement that we have to run three consecutive days every quarter, explaining to people how they can get these announcements. They can actually request email or a phone notification of public meetings. Okay. Currently in front of the five local boards is a motion that was approved by the board to say that the station announcements conform to the CPB requirements. And this replaces some truly onerous requirements that we have in the original bylaws that are so onerous they've essentially just the stations say we can't do it. We cannot run this announcement every hour for 40 consecutive days. I mean, that kind of thing. So that's what's happening. What I'm trying to do with each of the stations is get them to, like, focus on this is when we, when this is the time, noon on Monday, we announce the meetings so that we do have it on the air. But that's not an onerous requirement. That's a requirement that's very easy for the station to do. For example, I know at KPFT on the Monday news show, they announce all the current meetings. That's the plan. And that, I think that is a reasonable compromise that gets it out to as many of the community people as possible. One other thing. Our internet coverage is now about 70%, I believe.
What does that mean?
Huge number of people have smartphones.
Oh.
And that is one of the places where people, you know, can receive their email and so forth. So we're kind of in a transitional phase. If somebody doesn't have any connection at all, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. We're down to sound trucks, and I'm not sure that, you know, that's going to work. But the really important thing is that the boards, those local boards, approve that resolution from the board so that our announcement requirements conform to the CPB. And I think that will do more to make sure that people hear it than anything else we can do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Otis. It turns out we're having a discussion on the section of the report, and I had not let Benito speak earlier, but I don't see him now. All right, well, I'll add Benito to the list. I have Rodrigo, Jim Brown, Hank, Manage, and
Point of order?
Yes.
We have 45 minutes for orientation, and we have other items waiting behind it.
Okay, so we have 15 more minutes, right?
It's agendized as an orientation, not a discussion or a debate.
Yeah.
So if there's other stuff we need to orient on, we got 12 minutes left to do it.
Okay. So I think that perhaps what we ought to do is schedule a discussion on these issues. We have an opportunity to talk about. I don't have my agenda in front of me, but there is an opportunity to talk about board policies. There's an opportunity to talk about Sunday evening, and if people would hang on to their thoughts about these issues, and we could talk about it there. And, you know, schedule a formal time to have this discussion. And at this point, I think we should complete the orientation.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Margie. We're going to try to be brief here. I've asked Summer to talk about board and officer insurance, as well as Pacifica's contract employees.
Thank you. This is Summer Reese, Executive Director of the Pacifica Foundation. It says, the National Board and Foundation officers acting within the law are defended by a foundation-paid insurance policy and lawsuits and protected from any resulting damages. The day before this meeting started, I sent you one of my prior board reports, which contains the complete directors and officers insurance policy. I don't know what the present general counsel's opinion is. Certainly, prior general counsels have advised us that when it says within the law, that means in the execution of your duties as a board member. You are not protected from things which fall outside the scope of that or that go against advice of legal counsel. In the past, people have been advised to speak to their own attorneys if they want to vote against what their general counsel has advised them in matters. But you have the complete insurance policy in front of you in your emails, so feel free to read it to see what your protections are. But you are protected completely for acts that are within the scope of your duties. But I only reiterate that because we've had so many instances where people sometimes go outside the scope of their duties and don't really realize that. So it pays to acquaint oneself with what the duties of a board member are and which things may, in fact, not actually fall within that category. I'm sorry, did other people get cut off when they digressed greatly from what was in here?
No.
Contract employees. The foundation generally has the support of a general counsel and of an attorney who handles station licensing and other matters related to the Federal Communications Commission. And this says Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Actually, we are required to have audits because we are a nonprofit organization. And when you are a nonprofit over a certain size, you are required to have an audit, and we are significantly over that size. So every year we have an annual audit of our financial records of the organization by an independent certified auditor. Terry Gross, Esquire, is our interim general counsel out of San Francisco, and he's the foundation's general counsel. And John Kriegler has been the foundation's FCC attorney for several decades and does a fantastic job of it, as I must say. Armanino LLP performed the audit for fiscal year 2012, and the audit committee has recommended their retention for the audit of fiscal year 2013. Thank you.
Question?
We're okay. Just going to hold off on questions if that's okay. Yeah. Please make a note of your questions. Make a note of your questions. I'm going to ask Janice Lane Ewart to quickly explain the affiliate program. Thank you.
Thank you. Janice Lane Ewart, Pacifica affiliate representative. Across the United States, there are approximately 200 to 225 community-based radio stations that are affiliated with Pacifica through their programming that is derived directly from the Pacifica National Foundation. The Pacifica affiliate program is directed by Ursula Rudenberg. She is responsible for managing the relations with these 200-plus stations. She's also assisted by the work of a part-time technical staff member, Chris Lyne, and will be working also with a part-time bookkeeper. The importance of the affiliate program is that it allows Pacifica programming to be extended beyond the five stations, reaching millions of additional listeners and putting forth the mission and purpose of the Pacifica National Board in much more concrete ways than can be achieved by five stations solely. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice. I've asked George Ryder to talk briefly about the Pacifica Radio Archives as well as the National Board Committees and Task Forces.
Are we going to skip National Technical Workers?
Right now we will. Go ahead.
The Pacifica Radio Archives, I'm going to read you what it says on its website because it's accurate. Pacifica Radio Archives is considered by historians and scholars to be one of the oldest and most important audio collections in the world, chronicling the political, cultural, and artistic movements of the second half of the 20th century. Pacifica radio programs include documentaries, performances, discussion, debates, drama, poetry readings, commentaries, and radio arts. Any station can submit stuff that they want to have stored there. Any station can request back stuff that's in the archives. I know myself, I was enormously moved by just a short, I think it was about a 3-minute clip of Rosa Parks speaking about her own experience. You don't get that anywhere else. I was also asked to speak about the committees. And let me say that Brian DeShazer has been running it since, I don't know when, 1972 it says here, but he's largely responsible for the success of the archives and for the recognition it's gotten through grants and other awards and through people other people wanting to collaborate with it. The committees of the PNB, we're going to be selecting at least one director for each of the standing committees. That's the way the bylaws are written. At times, the board has chosen to select only one. The year before that, it chose to select no more than two. But in any case, we populate these committees with some of our directors. The committees, there are standing committees. There are also that have that requirement. It's part of the bylaws that we do that, and they are audit, coordinating, elections, finance, governance, personnel, and I think programming, although I'm not quite sure about its status at the moment.
Thank you so much, George. I've asked...
Yes, you have a question?
Yeah, and this is not directed at the particular young lady. Yeah, I'm sorry. My name is Benito from PFW in D.C., and I like to know why the police is in the room, and nothing personal. You know what I mean? Not it ain't got nothing to do with you. I just want to know why the police was called in the room.
I don't know.
Special police, security guard, call it what you will.
I don't believe anybody called the police in the room. But
well, then I want to know why the police is in the room.
Okay. Go ahead, Summer.
That's not the police. She's a security guard.
Yeah, security guard. So okay. Why was the security guard called into the room?
I don't believe she was called in the room. I think she might have been curious about what was going on in the board meeting. She appeared to just be listening.
In that case, I'd like to be the first to invite her to come and have a seat or do whatever she wants. But I'm paranoid. Since I grew up under Richard Nixon, I'm paranoid, and since I know some of the machinations and manipulations of some of the folks on this board, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, if I may clarify.
Straight up.
Thank you, Benita.
It's just hotel security kept people out of closed session yesterday, too.
Point of information. Okay, anybody else. But I just wanted to know
Benito.
If somebody had some other agenda in mind.
Point of information.
Please come back to order. No one called the police. She's a security guard. She's checking out what's going on.
Point of information.
Why is she standing guard? I've never seen this in my life.
Point of information.
Okay.
Don't be like that.
Are
you expecting something?
No, absolutely not.
Point of information.
I know of no problems.
Point of information.
Point of information.
She's been here all day today. And she was Kim Kaufman, KPFK, and we had a security guard here all day yesterday as well.
Who just kept people out of closed session. That's all the person did yesterday.
That's not a point of information. A point of information is a question, not a sharing of information. All right. Can we go on, please? Thank you all very much.
We're almost finished here.
Okay.
I've asked Margie Wilkinson to talk about, just briefly, the Pacifica stations that are owned by the Pacifica Foundation, as well as... just make comments about the Robert's Rules chart at the end, Margie.
Okay. So I don't think there's any point in me reading any of this. There are five stations, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFT in Houston, WPFW right here in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York. These are the five stations that form the foundation. And you can, they all have web pages, and in fact, you can go to any one of their web pages and connect to web pages of other stations. You can go to the Pacifica Foundation web page and connect with all of the stations. So do that. You know, they're interesting places. I'll just, you know, there.
Chair, I have a point of information. I have a question.
Just a second. Let me just finish this idea. The one of the things that's in the orientation package is information about the GMs, the IGMs, open positions and stuff. And so I would encourage people to look at that because it gives you some idea of what's the situation is at each station in terms of management. And it also, you know, maybe you know somebody who's going to want to apply for one of these jobs. Lawrence.
I'm just wondering why, in part of this orientation, the fact that Spanish language programming, languages and programming has not been part of this orientation packet, because I think that that leads to a certain amount of xenophobia among our listeners, and so I'm just wondering if that was just a simple oversight, or...
I think it was a simple oversight. The what happened was that the Serene Roberts did a first draft of the orientation. It was sent to the committee. I made some comments. I don't know if other people made comments. And then the next time we saw it was here. So you know, it clearly that is an issue that needs to be dealt with and should be included in the orientation. Janice.
Janice Lane-Ewart, Pacifica affiliate rep. I'll make this very quick. I'd like to request that the orientation packet be made available on the Pacifica National Board's website. And Lawrence, if you have the wherewithal or can direct us to someone who can translate the orientation packet into Spanish so that we are being as inclusive as possible, I would ask you to take that opportunity.
Okay, I would look into that. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK, Los Angeles. But I was specifically talking about why it wasn't included in the orientation.
And the issue
not so much that it should be translated, which I think it should be,
yeah.
But why it wasn't included in the orientation.
The issue of inclusion, yeah. Okay.
We have just one final thing, and it's with John O'Malley, who's going to quickly talk about
that. Wait, no, I just want to talk. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is at the end of this story. First of all, I totally agree with Janice that the orientation packet should be on the website so that any member can look at it and comment. Tell us what you think. The end of the packet is a Robert's Rules of Order made short. And I would encourage people to read that and to look at it. And to look at it when you have a question, to look at it when you're concerned about what's going on. It's not perfect. Robert's Rules of Order is far from perfect. But it does give you an orientation to the procedures which we are supposed to use because our bylaws require us to function under Robert's Rules of Order. So I have Serene Manage and Lydia.
I'm sorry, we have just one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, no, it's John O'Malley. John, are you there?
Oh.
He's just going to talk about the National Technical Workers quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That'll be in.
Hi there. Myself, John O'Malley, is the National Technical Director. Otis McClay, who is the Web IT, Pacifica Web IT Director. We work with Summer Reese at the National Office. And we provide support planning solutions, infrastructure for Pacifica, for the stations, for national broadcasts, for your notices, as we said before. Otis has coded many web applications that we're using in Pacifica. We provide the web streams for our stations to take if they're not using the satellite, because a number of our stations don't have satellite dishes anymore, to receive the KU for either regular or special programming. We provide a lot of that infrastructure. So, any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, finally, Marty, before you take any questions, I want to thank all of you all so much, and thanks. for the comments and the assistance from all the various board members. I want to thank Serene for her original draft of this and comments from other board members. Thank you all so much. So, thank you.
Okay, we're almost on time. If we can do this really quickly, we'll be right on time. So, I have Serene Manage and Lydia asked. Okay.
I was on Scott.
Okay, okay. Go ahead, Serene.
Just go
okay,
back
so,
to Scott.
So, thank you. Who am I? I'm Janice Lane Ewart.
No.
only in my dreams. I'm Serene Roberts from WBAI, responding to something that Janet said earlier and then some earlier comments. I do think that it should be on the website, not necessarily in this form. There has been a lot of work on this document, but I will say that this is not as labeled a product of the coordinating committee. Although the work began there, it was not finished, and many of the things here were not reviewed by the coordinating committee. So I would actually ask that it go back to the coordinating committee to be finalized before being added to the website, because I think there are some omissions and stuff. So that's on that point. And the other point is that I did send it out to the public in this form. So if anyone has comments, they can just write to us, pnb@pacifica.org, and put orientation package in the subject line, and we'll consider your comments.
Thank you, Manage.
Yes.
Timing? Are we getting time for these comments?
Okay. Yes, I hope so. Timed on comments. Say who
okay,
are you?
Yes.
Who are you?
Manijia Saba, WBAI. I have two comment suggestions. In connection to what I requested before in terms of inclusiveness and announcement, I would like to suggest and ask the question from the technical people if it's possible for posting on the calendar to be somehow like telephony, that people read their posting on the calendar and that can be recorded, like what we get on our emails, for example, you got this phone announcement, phone message, and we can listen to them. So if it directly gets read to the calendar, the time or dates and everything, and then that calendar can be directly used by the stations to put it on the for their announcement. So they don't have to, there's not much demand on their labor, on their work to do more work. So all of these done automatically via the voicemail and things like that, that they can use it. That's one suggestion or question. If it can be done, we can use the media to do it. Because I know, for example, I get messages on my telephone voice messages. I get an email and I can listen to my voice messages on the telephone from my email, even if I'm not home. If I get an email, I'm out of the country, I can get it sometime when they're available. But if you can use that system to reduce the labor that we don't have.
We can look
the
into
second
that
one,
to see if
it's possible.
If we can do text-to-speech and include that in the email.
Thank you.
It probably won't be broadcast quality. And probably, the problem is that usually, first of all, there's coding errors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be computerized voice, it's not
going to
sound like
something. But listen, that would be the discretion of the people at the stations to see if it's not good, so they can at least know what it is exactly quickly and send it. But that's the suggestion. The other thing, it was about Spanish programming. I think one of the things, and I really appreciate for Lawrence to raise that, and I think it would be very good to have that, to have these guidelines on the website, but at the same time, I would like to suggest that if it's possible for producers of Spanish programmings on our stations, for example, BAI has them, to offer them this and suggest that they, if they can translate it, announce it to the public on the radio, put part of their, programming added, make it an announcement on the radio that people who do not have access to internet, and also they are not, their English is not as sufficient, so they can understand these things in Spanish. And I think we really need to make this part of our process from our Spanish producers, Spanish-speaking producers and all that, to do this thing regularly for their listeners. Thanks.
Okay. I have Kim, Rodrigo, Jim Brown, Hank, and Janet. Coleman.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, look, I grew up. You spoke, right?
You were. Okay. Adriana. Okay. No, I'm sorry. We have, yeah, that was it was an old list. I apologize. We are now 7 minutes past our 45 minutes on this item.
Move the agenda.
Okay.
Second.
Move the agenda.
No, I want to read my comment.
I raise you.
Okay. So what Brian has done is made a motion to move the agenda. It's been seconded. And we have to vote on it. I believe it takes a majority vote to move to the next item on the agenda. Is there discussion on this?
Madam Chair.
Look at the cheat sheet.
Is there? Yeah, my cheat sheet. Do we? Can somebody tell me if we have to? Call for the orders of the day.
That's it.
No vote. No second. What does that mean?
I mean, you just have to do it.
It's like a point of order.
And, but, so we just go.
Yeah.
That's it. He's.
Unless you think it's out of order.
He's I would. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I also appreciate the fact that there were people who wanted to comment on our discussion on the orientation packet.
We want the moment.
I
1 minute.
5 seconds.
Yes. So I'm gonna say.
1 minute.
Hold on. Okay. Here's what I want to do is let the people who are already on the list speak. Ask them to keep their comments to 1 minute, and then we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. That's my proposal. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have Adriana, 1 minute.
Okay.
Oh, okay. The list is Adriana, Kim, Lydia, Rodrigo, Jim Brown, Hank, and Janet Coleman. Okay. Thank you, Hank. Go ahead, Adriana. 1 minute.
I want to remember to remind Adriana Casnabe, KPFT. I want to remind everybody that doesn't matter what we discuss about, the response from the Pacifica Foundation of the CPB audit of September 12, 2012, said in one of the paragraphs, each station will be required to announce PMB, LSV, and other committee meetings at least 7 days in advance, both on air with a recorded copy of the announcement and the time and date aired, and on the station website with a copy available with the weather announcement and so on. Okay?
Thank you.
It's not that we have to do it. We said that we will do it.
Okay. Kim Kaufman.
Kim Kaufman, KPFK. I would like to read the first two paragraphs of the mission statement because I think they're critical. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes. No part of the net earnings of which ensures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject to their operation regulatory blah, blah, blah. I think those are very critical, that we are self-sustaining and an educational purpose. And it's unfortunate that the whole board doesn't recognize as that as being really important part of our mission statement.
Okay.
And I want to thank John O'Malley for extensive help with KPFK's transmitter over the years when we were having major problems. Thank you, John. And we have a new transmitter.
Lydia.
I just wanted
to say... Who are you?
Lydia Brazon, KPFK, Los Angeles. I just wanted to refer people, in addition to the cheat sheet on Robert's Rules, you can go to the official website of Robert's Rules and they're the most frequently asked questions, and it's very useful. So there are various sources. But if you go to other websites, you know, even if they're university ones, it's always someone's interpretation of it. So I recommend Robert's Rules website, and keep your 11th edition handy.
Thank you. Rodrigo. Name and station, please.
Yeah, my name is Rodrigo Argueta from KPFK, Los Angeles. I just wanted to make an emphasis in terms of what we were talking about, the Spanish language programming that needs to be implemented. We must implement Spanish language programming at all radio stations at hours that are available to everyone to listen, and not just at 2 a.m. And for those who are speaking about minority rights, you know, I want them to speak about minority rights, but everyone. And D.C. is about 10%, right here, 10% of, you know, of Latino population. Texas is what, 40%? Right, 40-something percent, right? How many hours do you have in Spanish? At what time do you have the hours in Spanish?
Okay. No.
I'm just saying, you know. So, California right now is the majority, and Los Angeles especially. You know, so we do have to really move forward, and not just speak about minorities, but, you know, not do anything.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Jim Brown.
Yes, I will speak.
Most of what I wanted to...
Just say your name, please.
Jim Brown, WPFW. Most of what I wanted to comment on has already been said. One of the things was to make sure that the announcement of meetings are done in a proper way. And what I wanted to find out, though, is what is our recourse when the station is not doing those announcements in the manner in which they are supposed to.
Good question. Yeah. Okay.
For an example, I didn't hear any announcement on the radio about this meeting this week.
That's right. Didn't hear anything.
Okay. So I think that's something we should take up when we're discussing board policies, and I ask you to keep that in mind and bring it up then. That's the end of the list that I announced previously. I think we really have to stop now and move on to the elections of
just
officers.
Just one point, though. I'd like you to make note. There's a gentleman to my left who insists on intimidating people, if you will. I would ask him to refrain. I do not interfere with people, but if they do, I don't let it ride.
Okay.
Please.
All right.